In light of the weather we had this afternoon, I gave some thought to coming in Bermuda shorts and spiked shoes and polo shirt and bring my golf bag. I don't happen to have one, but a lot of times retirement is kind of pictured that way. I appreciate the discussion there about the idea that for some people, retirement seems to be just the thing you do. We want to look at retirement for the glory of God tonight. Retirement is a transition time, and maybe just to get our mind in that. Transitions are not always easy to do. A number of years ago, I think it was Paul Harvey told a story. He told it as a true story, but there was a proofreader in the local newspaper. And the man was doing his duty in the classified ads, and he ran across one ad, and he looked at it and said, "This just doesn't seem right." And so he called his supervisor over and showed it to him and said, "Don't think this is what it should be, so let's take it to the main boss." And they took it up to the main boss, and the boss looked at it and said, "I think I better call this person and check this out." So he dialed the number that was listed in the ad. A lady answered the phone, and the manager of the classified said, "Ma'am, we have an ad here. Did you place an ad for an automobile?" And she said, "Oh, yes, I did." And the man said, "Well, let me read the ad to you, and then you tell me if this is correct." And he said, "This is a brand new Mercedes SLK. And you're selling it for $350. And the lady said, "Yes, that's correct." And the man said, "Ma'am, that car is probably worth $75,000. And she said, "Yeah, I know that." He said, "Well, why are you selling it for $350? She said, "Well, you see, my husband bought that car about 2 weeks ago. And last week, he ran off with his secretary, and he's in the Bahamas. He called me yesterday and said he was out of money. Sell the car and send him the money." And she said, "I'm doing that right now." Well, we're not talking about that kind of a transition, but retiring, like was mentioned down here, is not always easy. For some folks, retirement is a time where there are other obligations. I have run into I don't know how many families who have parents and loved ones that they're caring for, and that's certainly a real reason for making a transition of that nature. If you read a definition of retirement, one that I read said, "Leaving your occupation and source of income." Now, when you just read that, that might qualify as crazy. You know, just to say, "Okay, I'm not going to have a check anymore coming in." Retirement, as we know it in our culture, is really quite unique. In the scriptures, I was trying to think through, and maybe somebody can help me afterwards or correct me or whatever. I couldn't think of anybody who retired in the Bible. Retirement is, some wrote and said that it was a relatively new phenomena. Apparently, it became something that came into vogue in the late 19th century, early 20th century, somewhat because there were an awful lot of people who weren't moving out of the workforce and there were other people coming in, and so it gave an opportunity for more people to step in. At any rate, it's something new. You don't have anybody in the Bible that I know of that just quit and ended life before they were dead. One of the things that comes fairly close in the book of Numbers, I won't ask you to turn there, but in the book of Numbers, the Levites, they were the ones who had all the priestly responsibilities. and it was a lifelong responsibility that they carried. But in Numbers chapter 8, it tells us that at age 50, they stepped aside from leadership. Now, they stayed on working, but they were helping those that were younger coming up that needed mentoring and guidance and counsel. And so that's about as close in the Bible as you come to. But there are some interesting both characters and statements that are made in the Bible that give us, I really believe, kind of a view of life that is helpful. There's a story in 2 Kings. We are familiar with many of the kings of Israel. You think particularly of David and Solomon, others that seemed very significant in their contribution. Perhaps one of the most important kings in Israel was a guy named Hezekiah. Now, some of you have studied Hezekiah and we're familiar with that Bible name, but he had a long career as the king of Israel, and he was certainly considered one of the greatest. However, when he reached a certain age, the Bible, as best I recall, doesn't tell us exactly what that age was. You might be able to figure it out. But God sent the prophet to him, and the prophet said, "Get your house in order. You're going to die." Now, that's not a fun thought, to say the least. But it hit Hezekiah very, very hard. And he was extremely, not agitated, but he was very concerned. And he stopped and prayed and asked God for this whole idea to be changed, and he wept. The Bible tells us that the prophet had gone out, and before he had gotten home, God sent him a message and told him to go back and tell Hezekiah that he would live 15 years longer. What an amazing thing. None of us here could say, all right, 15 years from now, that's when I'll die. Or 2 years, or, you know, we don't have that. Hezekiah had that. Hezekiah had been an amazing king. But during those last 15 years, he made probably the major blunder of his whole life. And it set in motion the destruction of the nation of Israel, the Babylonians coming in and destroying them. Now, there were a lot of other reasons. It wasn't simply because of Hezekiah. But sometimes, you know, God gives us a certain amount of time. And God has, in his wisdom, set a day that is the day that we step out of this life and into the next. And when Hezekiah came to that point, he asked for an extension, and it wasn't the best thing for his life. Well, another aspect about this, and somewhat of what the people in the forum can mention, we have in our culture a mentality that is kind of captured the idea that, okay, I'm looking forward to this place where I can just quit work and just do my own thing. I can enjoy myself. You've probably seen some of those commercials on TV for resorts and cruises, and think of all these wonderful things that you can do. And retirement seems to have that glow about it. But there's a passage of Scripture that might be one of the most appropriate passages we can look at tonight. I'd like you to take your Bibles and go to Luke chapter 12, a familiar story that Jesus told. And in Luke chapter 12, picking it up in verse 16, let's see, make sure I'm in the right page here. I need to go back a page. "Then he," that's the Lord Jesus, "spoke a parable to them. The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. That's a very familiar parable that Jesus told, but it has such an appropriate application to the idea that we're talking about. What a tragedy to look at life as if, okay, I can just get everything all put together and have everything all set and ready to go, and then it's just going to be easy after that. Everything's going to be fun and games. I'm going to take my motor home and drive to California, and then I'm going to take a cruise down the Seine River, and after that, you have all these wonderful things planned. But the reality is that we don't have a guarantee about tomorrow. For a number of years, I went to a retiree care facility up in Ohio where I pastored. And one of the things, and I didn't do it in a delightful way, but one of the things I frequently reminded those folks, every one of you have an appointment with an undertaker. You just haven't written it in your calendar yet. We all have that point, like Hezekiah, that God is going to say, get your house in order. And if, like this rich man that Jesus talked about, if our thought is, well, I'm going to enjoy life, we may be making plans that may never come to fruition. In the scriptures, a number of years ago, someone illustrated a verse in Romans. You probably know the verse. Let me read it for you. Romans chapter 12. The first two verses say, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or demonstrate what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. An artist named Sketch Erickson drew a picture of, it was a round ball, and the more you looked at it, you realized it was shaped like the world. But then the more you looked at it, you realized it was a person, and he was squeezed into that mold that the world had pushed him into. The world around us wants us to think that, this is it. You want to go round, you only go round once, so get all the gusto you can get. The commercial's long gone, but that idea has really been something that people have bought into. I've got to enjoy my life. And retirement, for many people, seems to be that idea. Well, this is all I get, so I better enjoy it here and now. Well, the scriptures really give us a different picture. I'll just mention a few, and one or two we'll take time to look at. But in Joshua chapter 4, or 24, excuse me, that's the very end of the book of Joshua. You remember the story of his life. He was the second in command under Moses. And he was a man who had just a dynamic amount of energy. When he reached the age of 80, he and Caleb, his kind of cohort in leading the children of Israel through the wilderness, he said, you know, God, give me what you promised me. I'm ready to keep on going. At age 110, which is where you find Joshua in the 24th chapter, he, in responding to the people of Israel after they had conquered the land, he said, well, as for me and my house, I don't know what you're going to do, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. 110, he's not going to quit. 110. He's not going to set it aside and say, well, let's let the younger folks take care of it for a while. He had a deep desire to do all that he could for as long as he could to serve the Lord. Paul, when he was talking to the believers from Ephesus in the New Testament book of Ephesians, chapter 5, he mentions two things. He mentions the idea of walking circumspectly. That means conducting your life very carefully. And we know the Bible teaches us that God has given us the opportunity of having an influence to the people around us, whether it's neighbors or folks within the church congregation or people at work or wherever, our grandchildren. Paul says, make sure you're careful in the way you carry on your life. But then he also added in that same verse, redeem the time. Now, all of us have only a certain amount of time. Did you know that President Trump only has 24 hours in every day? He only has 60 minutes in each hour. He's just like you and I. And so everything he gets accomplished in the same framework of time that we have. Well, Paul, when he was talking to his disciples, those folks that he had won to the Lord and was training, and particularly here at the church at Ephesus, he said, folks, you've only got so much time. And what I urge you, Paul says, is that you buy it up and you make the best use of it. It's a biblical mandate that we have a responsibility with the time that God has given us. Someone mentioned in the discussion group in Titus chapter 2, Paul again is writing to those people, and he's talking about how the church should effectively function. And he says, by the way, listen to the older men and listen to the older women and get their advice, get their guidance. They've had experience and they've learned things along the way that will be helpful. And as a church, that's something God calls us to do, to be not chasing after some fad, and I don't think we've done that, and certainly that's not something that we'll be trying to do, but look to those that God has put among us. The older men and the older women were there for a very important purpose. They weren't put out to pasture. They weren't set aside and say, well, let them be in the old people's class. No, they were a part of what God was doing. And Paul said, let's use them. A very powerful passage that certainly has impressed me is found over in Psalm 71. I'd like you to turn to this one. Psalm 71, in verse 17 and 18. The psalmist is talking to the Lord here, and he's talking about what God has been doing in his life. And he says in verse 17 and 18, O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. Now, it's wonderful, and I am so energized to see Pastor Robert and these teenagers and what they're doing and learning and the response that we have. And the psalmist here talked about in his youth how exciting and exhilarating it was to be taught by God. And then apparently in the middle of that couple of verses, the psalmist is talking about his strong years of service. But he says, even until I'm gray-headed and only partially as capable as I used to be. Even to my old age, I want, and that's my great desire, to be doing the work of the ministry, to be fulfilling the call that God has put on my life, and to be obedient to God. In Isaiah, he says that same thing, and he says, even to old age, let me do the work that you've given me to do. One last verse in 2 Timothy. Look with me there, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul, I don't know how old Paul was. I have the understanding or kind of the idea that he was in his 60s at the time he was writing this. He says, I have fought a good fight, in verse 7 of 2 Timothy 4. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing. Paul, as one place he talks about being beaten and being shipwrecked and being undergoing so many difficulties, it would have been very easy for him to say, now, wait a minute. I've traveled the known world today, and I've started so many churches, and now it's time for Timothy and the other boys to come along, and I'm going to sit back and I'll watch and just see how it goes. He didn't say that. He kept on keeping on. He did everything that he could possibly do for as long as he could possibly do it. He said, I've fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. He stayed at it for as long as possible. Now, I want to just suggest a couple of things very quickly and then wrap this all up. Christian service doesn't mean full-time ministry necessarily. There are so many, many places that we can give of ourselves to God, that we can plug in and have a maybe a service as a retiree that I couldn't have done earlier. We have a wonderful ministry, Sunday school, children's church, Truth Trackers, all the various teaching ministries that people can be involved in. My wife and I are involved in the Good News Club, and of the staff that we have working with us in the Good News Club right now, a number of them, a significant number of them, are retirees, and they have such a vital part of what's being accomplished through the Good News Club. The same thing is true in many other departments. So being involved in the ministries of Calvary is there's always a need. Another thing that can be done is to be involved individually. Maybe you're not interested or able or have a sense in your heart to say, well, I'll work with boys and girls or whatever. I was talking to Pastor Jerry just the other day. I said, Pastor Jerry, if someone called you up and said, by the way, I've got a couple hours every Tuesday afternoon or Wednesday morning or whatever, but is there something that I could do at church just to help? Jerry, he didn't quite faint, but he said, tell him to call me. I'll be glad to give them something to do. Do you know these facilities are God's facilities, and we are custodians of them, and we need folks to help with taking care of them. Now, we've got an excellent staff, and they do good work, but there's a lot of building here. A lot of stuff to take care of, and there's always the opportunity of saying, here am I, I'll run the sweeper, I'll wash windows, I'll whatever. There's plenty of places to serve. I was thinking of another one, just, and I saw them this morning, just yesterday or the day before, Pastor Guy and Cookie and that whole crew that had gone to Romania, they came back. They had spent not 6 months, a little more than a week working in Romania, but they were helping a local church. They were serving God. They were making a contribution that was just, for those people, unbelievable. I've been in other countries, and we've built a house for a family, and it's made out of corrugated steel, and has a concrete floor, and there's no bathroom there, there's no kitchen there, there's nothing. It's just a square. But those people were so delighted that a believer in Christ had come to their town, their village, and done something as a gift to them. And serving the Lord certainly does change lives. What an amazing thing. I talked to a friend of mine this week who is the director for all of South America for the ABWE Mission Board. And I said, is it easy or is it something that people could do if they would say, you know, I'd like to spend 6 months or maybe a year helping in the work of the gospel someplace beyond where I am now? Number one, it's an amazing thing to be able to serve the Lord in a way you never have before. But secondly, it's also a wonderful opportunity of having face-to-face and personal interaction with an entirely different culture, an entirely different part of the world. And this friend of mine, his name is Scott. My mind went blank. That's part of being old. It doesn't always work. But anyway, Scott said, I could plug you in all over the world, literally, and give you the opportunity of serving as a retiree in that point in life when you don't have all of those responsibilities that you had before. There are several that we could go on with. Pam and I were talking about this afternoon. She has a very good friend who from high school who she and her husband travel regularly with Samaritan's Purse doing rescue and repair work after hurricanes and tornadoes and fires and things of that nature. They have just made it a part of their life as retirees to say, I want to do something to help people and to honor God. The Bible tells us that God has a plan for our lives. And in doing that plan, maybe that kind of a transition where you don't have to go to the office every day and you don't have to be responsible for things week after week may give you an opportunity of doing some very unique things. How will you finish your course? Just to be very clear, there is not a thing wrong with playing golf. There's not a thing wrong with having a motorhome and traveling. There's not a thing wrong with going on a cruise and any of those other things that can captivate your time during retirement. But the danger is that we might lose our focus on what the scriptures tell us is truly important. The verse that we have built this study around, 1 Corinthians 10:31, I learned it a long time ago. And it continually comes back, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, whether it's in retirement or not, whatever you do, do all what? To the glory of God. Retirement doesn't have to be all about me. It shouldn't be all about me, but it should be for the glory of God. Let's pray together. Lord, how thankful we are that you have enriched our lives in so many ways. Lord, we thank you that for some of us, there does come a time when our schedules change, when we have the ability to do things that maybe we didn't have time before or we didn't have the opportunity. And now at that point in life, we can say we want to make an investment that we couldn't make before, but now we can. Father, we know that you direct our lives. You give us every day that we have, and we want to redeem the time that you've given us for your glory. We ask for your help and wisdom in doing that, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.